So let's understand the nature of pricing strategy available to us, Yana. So one is a scheming pricing. Second is a penetration pricing. Theoretically, scheming pricing is like on your introduction, you try to put a price in such a way that you really cream the market initially, where not only you recover your investment, you earn much more than what you are likely to get. So you protect your interests against competition, new entrants, alternative products, etc. So that's a scheming pricing. As the demand for the first consumer is satisfied, the company lowers the price to attract the later on other segments of the market. Yeah. So there is always a first mover who is willing to pay whatever price that you give. Later on, as the stagnation comes, then you need to attract the other consumer. So you start gradually bringing your price down. Later on, when competition comes, later on when alternative product comes, you have to then try to rationalize your prices to remain in market or to extend your growth stage of your product life cycle or the tapering stage of your product life cycle, etc. So that's where the scheming pricing segment approach strategy works. Yeah. For example, P&G introduced Airtel and Tide at a very high price and then later reduced the price. This was done to create an image of being a superior product. So on introduction, Ariel was a superior product, Tide was a superior product. But as the competition grew, they have to also taper it off. And now it is like competing as a more regular detergent, you know, available to a common man across urban India. So that's how the pricing when operates, where you enter at a very high price, you try to earn as much as possible in a shorter duration of time, wherein consumers also are willing to pay you the price that you ask for, you have done what you call a scheming strategy. Penetration pricing. This involves setting the price of the product relatively low compared to the similar products in the market. You hope that consumers will move away from that existing usage that they have towards your product. They will use your product. They will not only use your product first time, they will repeatedly use your product. They may buy more of your product, etc. So as a result, you are going to get more volume. Your market share will grow. So when you get into such kind of a pricing, it's a penetration pricing. Okay. Price strategies come from the economics. So price strategy derivation is also a result of economy that you bring in. Students of economics learned about the demand curve. More goods can be sold if prices are lower, and managers devise pricing policy based on the cost, value, demand and the competition. So typically the economic says lower the price, higher you sell. But manager needs to not only do that, he has to seek the value picture, he has to draw the demand picture, he has to draw the competition picture and then arrive at a price that will help him to earn or get maximum volume and earn also sufficiently. Pricing strategy can help a company use pricing to achieve its goals such as penetration or a scheming or the share of market, etc. So that is the result of pricing strategy. However, much of the pricing theory fails in rural marketing. So despite all this understanding, rural marketing pricing strategy often fail. And if you simply work on basics of pricing strategy, this is because companies have to work around lower purchasing power. So income, of course, per capita is lower than the urban this thing. So you have to keep in mind that their ability to also spend per head is lower. Their income is variation. Variation in their income also impacts the decision. Availability of the local brands. They are local brands, regional brands, who is available to them at a cheaper price. Price points that are convenient for the consumers. They are able to manage their price points depending on the intensity that the other companies bring in at the local level. Vis-a-vis, as we have earlier said, cost of your distribution, cost of your promotion, etc. If you are a national company, maybe in this such case will inhibit your ability to charge a particular pricing. And so that's an economy that if you are able to devise ways and means by which you control your promotion and distribution cost, you become competitive. That is why the price of rural market must fit the market condition and satisfy the need of affordability. Four A's. The first one is the affordability. In addition, the pricing must be over the cost, which is quite high in rural market. So cost to reach the rural market being high, you must recover your cost essentially. Minimum earning on the cost also should be assured to you, irrespective of the competitive situation, scenarios or other aspects that is threatening your pricing strategy. So have a balanced pricing which will be in line with the functionality of the product, value that consumer attaches to your price and the product and its functionality aspect. Some of these methods are cost-based pricing, value-based pricing, demand-based pricing, competition-based pricing. This is a method to price. Earlier, what we have done is skimming and pricing penetration is a strategy. So now method is cost plus, value-based, demand-based, competition-based. So let's understand them. Cost-based pricing. Here, you need to have entire idea about your cost involved to reach and sell the product in the rural market in various areas. This includes manufacturing, distribution, promotion, everything. It's a pricing method in which certain fixed sum amount or a percentage of amount will be recovered. So you have 5 rupees, you are supposed to earn a minimum 2 rupees per product. So your 5 is your total cost, 2 rupees is minimum that you want to earn. So your pricing will be 7 rupees. So that's how this goes. The company does recover the cost and also achieves the profit. This method is simple based on internal information. But however, many times your apportionment of the fixed cost, if not being right, or variable cost allocations, etc., your determinations of the distribution cost, if not right, then when those factors start hitting you, when your sales starts increasing, growing, etc., competitive pressure builds in, then you realize that the cost plus model is really creating a trouble for you by really not giving you that rupees 2 that you were looking out to earn. Can we represent a simple equation? Fixed cost plus variable cost plus markup. So how much you want to earn? In the rural market, fixed and variable cost, the cost of selling and distribution and the promotion that needs to be really attended to. They are not easy to calculate. It varies from territory to territory. How much you want to promote in one area, the amount that you spend in one area, you may have to spend disproportionately more in the other area. So all this adds to the variability or a suspense to your costing, and as a result then your confidence on cost plus pricing really diminishes, or if you go ahead with certain assumptions which do not work in your favor, then you are getting a hit on your markup that you are planning to earn out of selling each product. A purely cost based pricing may lead to high prices. So here you are not looking at the environmental and competitive pressure, etc. As a result, you are not efficient also in your distribution or a promotion. So with all the inefficiencies and other things, you may end up having a higher cost or higher pricing because your cost itself is high. So add to that your margin or markup that you want to earn. So you tend to sell at a much higher cost than the cost that either the consumer is willing to pay or competitive environment is making you affordable to pay the consumers. By bearing in mind the prices that they charge and the cost that they can pay, companies have to determine whether their cost will enable them to compete in a low-cost market where customers are concerned primarily with the price and find richer customers in a premium price market. Cost plus model doesn't really allow you to play flexibility to face the market which is low cost versus the market where people are willing to pay high cost. Maybe you can adopt a dual cost plus model wherein you are very clear as to these are the markets where price sensitivity is there. So you probably are able to charge less of a distribution promotion cost towards those markets. You probably charge more of a distribution and promotion cost in a market who is willing to pay you more. And that way also you can work out the balance for you and recover the expected markup. So overall, cost plus model is one of the model which can be practiced. We have seen the pros and cons of that. Then comes the value-based pricing. Here the value-based pricing means is a method in which the price is set on the basis of the value perceived by the consumer in not only buying and using that product. Value, when I say value, comes out of the functionality of that product, what product gives it to him. So if the product is not of a day-to-day perishable or nature, like toothpaste or say like salt that you use doesn't give you status or anything, but there are products which gives your persona, different personality or the status and stature, etc. You convey those aspects. So in that case, consumer attach a different value to your product. When that starts happening, you can get into the value pricing. Perceived value of the product is the sum of its attributes and psychological value. For using this product, I am willing to spend so much, but by using this product, my status, my value in my society circle is going to increase. For which there is a psychological cost which I am willing to pay. So your pricing becomes a value that consumer feels that he derives out of your use of your product versus what he is willing to pay more. That's a based on the perceived value that he derives for himself. The job of a manager is to find out the customer and research to the market to determine how much a value does the customer see in your product. Based on that, value pricing and psychological pricing can be worked out. How much, not only the value, what he, how he connects with your product and what he thinks product adds to him is psychological profiling of himself in the society or the circle that he is in. Value in the minds of the consumers achieved by creating desired product attributes, advertise it in a manner that it matches with the perceived imagery that consumer builds around the product so that you are able to command the price that you charge. Most of the communication and consumer engagement has to be done directly by the companies in absence of the mass media. You have to really establish your value, and as a result, companies may have to do a lot of engagements with the consumers. Except for high-end brands, rural consumers are more likely to be swayed away by functional benefits. As we said, the risk of charging heavy or going on a psychological arena to determine your this thing may not every time work with the rural consumers. They are still known to be very value-driven, functionality-driven of the product, you know, or the brand. Yani. They are not lured by fancy ads, communication, brand ambassador messages, etc. So that's where the trade-off is in value-based pricing. One need to really consider that it should not go into a domain where consumer lose the understanding about what the product is and what value that it adds to his utility of a functional aspect of his use of this product. So there are certain aspects that needs to be therefore considered in rural pricing strategy if you are trying to operate it on a value-based pricing method. Then come demand-based pricing. Demand-based pricing follows the classic demand curve taught in the basics of economics. Means the lower the price, higher the demand, and higher the price, lower the demand. So that is what it believes. Yani. However, the reality may be different. Demand-based pricing focuses on the level of demand that a product or service get at a specific price level. According to this policy, companies try to assess the demand at different prices. So, how does this model doesn't automatically operate that way. It is not, it cannot be assumed that if you enter at a lower price in the market, you will have a fantastic demand. No. So, companies try to do judgmental activity through research, etc., where they try to pinpoint at what price point, what is likely to be a demand. Then they arrive at some elasticity, as they say, price elasticity. So, if the price is increased by so much, how much demand will come down? If price is reduced by so much, how much demand will increase? With those aspects in mind, then they go ahead and fix up their demand-based pricing. Later on, they monitor how is the demand going. If the demand is rising, they can continue to rise. So, you often see that today automobiles enter at a lower rate, and if they find a good traction, the price rises are at a frequent interval because people are willing to pay for that product price with whatever feature that you have offered. Other dealing with mass production of goods use pricing policy to sell goods at a lower price and hope to achieve volume because of that. Yeah. So, this is also another approach. People who feel that you produce goods at a lower price and then hope to get a larger volume. Production and sales are based on this calculation. So, accordingly, they produce to meet the sales requirement. However, it is quite difficult to estimate demand for any product, more so at a village level. So, as I said, even in an urban level, it is difficult to just assume this theory to work, yani, that lower the price, higher the demand. So, that is a difficulty in using this model. Your knowledge of price elasticity may help you very well to establish some demand-centric pricing model. Estimating demand for rural areas is even more difficult. As we have said, there is so much of a variety so much of differentiations. As a result, demand estimation, to be precise, is far from reality in the rural market. So this is a limitation of demand-based pricing. But demand-based pricing is one of the method available to you in rural marketing. Competition-based pricing is relatively simple because company sets its price looking at the price of the similar product by the competition. However, prices of competing products are used as a benchmark for setting prices. It has its own fallout. One price of competitor known, the company may decide the price of the using the following three strategies. So here the essence is to work around the competition. Okay. Now the work around competition has a different connotations. So based on that, your pricing finally will evolve. Yes, you are going to adopt, you know that you are going to adopt a competitive market, you know, pricing strategy because you need penetration or you need larger volume, you need market share to improve, whatever may be. But having done that and you know the competitive pricing, there are certain stands that you need to take, and that's what we are going to discuss. Pricing at par with the competition. Here, whatever may be your cost and earning likely, etc., you decide, ke bhai, whatever is the price of my competition, I will introduce the same. Of course, it has come with the certain assumptions that your product are looked upon as same quality. You believe in your product. Your belief that consumer will accept your product as the same product, like competitive product, etc. These are some of the ifs and buts attached to this approach to pricing, that you try to decide the same price and you hope to get major volume or whatever volume that competition was getting, then you may be little on a wronger side. Pricing above the competition. Now, this company sets the price higher than its competition by highlighting the superiority. Now, when you do that, you decide I will now charge more for my products. You are doing that because after you know the price of the competitive product, the features, the benefits, the quality of it aspect, and then you determine that my product is better than them. So in such case, you may go ahead and charge higher. So that's a competition and above prices. The pricing above the competition, pricing below the competition. Here, the company prices product lower than those offered by the competition, hoping that the consumer might like the cheaper product more. And then they will buy that more. In competition-based pricing, the company does not consider its cost of manufacturing and selling. So, while you do this below the competition, you ignore this aspect. Irrespective of your cost, you still price less. Many times, strategically you do that, either as a penetration strategy or introductory phase when you do that, when you are entering the market for the first time, then also you may probably do that. Growth phase or at a tapering phase or when your prices are when your volumes are falling down, you may decide to do the price below the competition kind of thing. Of course, at this stage, the cost and the likely markup and all is not an issue factor that you can consider. You have to face it as it comes, whatever volume that you get, and then you arrive at your cost benefit analysis or the value benefit analysis, whether you are incurring heavy losses, moderate losses, you are just managing somehow, etc. Because retaining yourself in the market is a challenge and you have taken that challenge. So, you do this pricing below the competition. Each of the above mentioned strategy has its own advantages and disadvantages. For instance, by pricing at par, company must have a similar cost structure internally. So, validly said, you are following blindly the price equal to competition. As I told you, the prices are getting derived by internal factors and other external factors. Internal factor is the cost. Are your costs aligned to the competition's cost? That will determine how much markup you are going to earn. If your costs are not aligned as smartly or efficiently as the competition is, your markup will not remain same as the competition markup. You may earn less. If the costs are higher, competition-based pricing will lead you to your ruin, or you will earn less. This method is fraught with another danger. If a company price is provided at par with local brands, it will impact the consumer perception. Consumer will perceive your product being of the same inferior quality as the local brand. This is a danger. Like if you are trying to price with the competing brand, if competing brand is a local brand, your brand image will get a dent. People will presume that you are also equal to a local brand. And then later on, your ability to command more and value-based pricing or a premium pricing will not be available to you. While pricing above the competition, the company runs the risk that customers may turn away, citing your product to be expensive if they do not find the value for money. Pricing below the competition carries the risk of a price war. If the competitors also reduce the prices, the company is forced to reduce price even further, and that will lead to even impact on your profitability. In rural market, the competition are usually low-cost local brands. Pricing at par or below the competition is almost impossible for a big brand which have higher costs. Such brands have to compete on communicating value. So what happens? That MNC and all, they try to create a value. They try to create aspirations. They promise you something, etc. That's how they built that image for which you are willing to pay the price which they recover or the charge which could be not on par or below, but could be higher than the competing product price in your area. However, the competition-based pricing policy is easy since competitor prices are easy to find. So, this pricing method is easy to adopt because competition pricings are known in the market. Even during your product strategy stage, you can factor in that aspect. So, you can say that, you know, your product prices will be on par to say competition or below, and then accordingly you work out the back-end calculations and derive the functionality part of the product, feature part of the product, the distribution, promotion cost, etc. are aligned to meet that. Back-end cost calculations are accordingly aligned so that you overall end up having the reasonably good markup. So, this is a few important factors that we have covered when we look at the competition-based pricing methods, wherein either you can charge equal, charge below, or charge more than the competition. Price adjustment strategies. So, what is this price adjustment strategies? Prices which have been set for products are adjusted to account for various difference and changing situations. So, on launch, you have a particular price. Later on, as the period pass, you need to adjust your pricing. So, here what we are going to teach you is what are the adjustment strategies that one can follow. Discount and allowance prices. Discount and allowance prices has the effect of reducing prices to reward consumer response. Rural people are price sensitive and discounts play an effective role in giving rural consumers psychological justification or rationale to purchase or continue to purchase your goods. So, now that you have entered, you have got a good traction, you want consumer to buy more, you want consumer to remain with you, stickiness need to be improved. So, based on competitive environment, market situations, you may have to get into discounts or allowances or reward the consumers in a way that you pass on a benefit of a pricing to them, or not really declaring a price reduction, but you offer them something more. So, that's what discount and allowance pricing, freebies. Offering a free gift with every purchase has been found to be the most effective price adjustment strategy. You are neither entering into price war, you are not conveying any dent in your image, etc. But you are offering something more to your consumers, which is an additional product. This additional product is generally from your portfolio, as it helps you to increase the volume and economy of scale. So, they very often when you are buying, say, 2 packs of this product, we will give you this free. Or, this come festival offer or a season offer, buy this and get 20% extra, or buy this and get this free, kind of. So, this is what they say, freebies. Special event pricing. Companies offer product at a reduced price in rural market to earn certain time of the year, such as harvest, wedding, and other such major incidences during which consumer tend to spend more. So these are linked to the event. These are the events where consumers spending is on a higher side. You tap that spending more towards your by offering special prices. So say for example, come December, automotive companies declare higher discounts because one aspect that your car purchased in say December 2018 will be considered as a 2018 model, which will have an impact on your resale value. So, just when you are trying to sell your car in 2020, it will still not be 1 year old. It will be considered as a 2 year old car, and accordingly your residual or say resale value gets determined. This was leading to a significant fall in the volume of the automobile company. Now, when they want to optimize their sale, they realize that they need to do something. So, companies are offering 50, 60, 70,000 rupees worth of discount on their market price or on-road price during December and all. So, that is a special event pricing, and also during Diwali or Dashahra in East, etc. So, they have earmarked certain specific pricing points for those events, yani, so that you are able to create a required pull for your brand. So, there's another adjustment strategy. Economy pricing. This is a no-frill low price. In this case, the non-essential of the products are removed to keep the price low. So, you have introduced the product. You know that what are the frills in that. Many times to create a traction or have more and more consumers coming in your fold, what you can do is the economy pricing. So, you introduce a base variant or a base model with absolutely bare minimum functionality, keeping the price low. Competition is also not able to determine whether you are competing with him or you are created a price war, etc. So, as a result, you are able to get the required traction in the market. The production costs of such are definitely coming down because you have reduced the sophisticated features or additional features that is needed in the product, so that you are able to create a value proposition that the basic functional product at a so much lower price. Yeah. So that's the another adjustment mechanism available in your overall pricing strategy after you have declared the prices. All this happens after you have launched the product, you have declared your price. Later on, you need to play with the prices. So these are the ways that you can do, and discounts and allowances, freebies, special event, and economy prices. So these are the four approaches that is available to you. Rural specific pricing strategies. So now we will try to focus our attention on what needs to be done and what can be done to become a rural strategy pricing, to create a rural strategy of your pricing. There are some strategies which marketers apply specifically to rural market. These have helped to shift rural consumers for unbranded loose product to the branded products. How they do that? Low price point. Majority of the rural people are daily wage earners and they never have sufficient money to invest in SKU since the earnings are limited. Hence, companies need to introduce low price point pack and advantage Bing. So, what it is trying to tell you is allow the consumers to enter at a lower price point. Now, to make this thing happen, your product strategy also has to be aligned accordingly. You cannot expect to sell 200 liter bottle to the rural consumers. So, the Sachet Revolution is one example. Mini packs are the other examples, etc. Or refill packs also comes out of those things. Yani. So, you help consumers to enter at a lower end point. Yani. So, refill pack will be useful to not only existing consumers who can fill in the content into the solid packs that they have, but that repeat pack being cheaper can also be a local low end entry point for the rural consumers. How does it help? It helps to penetrate the market which would have otherwise been difficult due to high price points. Yani. You are able to penetrate. You are able to make consumer take that first purchase. The first time purchase or the repeat purchase, create that stickiness. Opening small packs keeps things fresh. Less of a consumption. It is easy to use, and as they say, and a use and throw type of culture. Small packs offer the advantage of variety to consumers. Consumers can try varieties, and before really finalizing what is good for him in the mid and long term, he is able to trial and error kind of thing, and he is able to then finally derive at his final choice. So that is also one reason why low price point is one approach that can be done for the rural specific pricing strategy. Second is a low cost packaging. The packaging needs to be very not very sophisticated for rural people. They are not willing to pay high for the fancy packagings, etc. Tertiary packs or other things. And the transportation pack has to be, of course, as rugged because road conditions and all are such. But later on, whatever that you can reduce, and that needs to be looked at. Yani. Since they have more interest in the sturdy, durable, and low-cost products, simple packaging may also work for them. Yeah. So one need to really consider this aspect also. Refill and reusable pack. Products are made available in refill packs so that the marketers can add value pricing to it. Yani. So This is what I have earlier touched, yani you create also refill and reusable packs, yani as a result there is an all round benefit, consumer benefits, the manufacturer benefits, maybe the environment benefits, etc. Products like oil, health drinks and coffee are available in refill packs, yani so as we have all using it, yani in our daily life, this concept also helps well in rural pricing strategies. Highlight value, not price. Although the rural consumers are price sensitive, he is generally willing to pay more if there is a value. So create a value. Hero Honda motorcycles are popular in rural area because highlight features such as mileage, maintenance cost being lower, resale value. Even Mahindra highlights resale value as one of their prime point, you know, for buying Mahindra vehicles. And it is an established fact since last decade and more. So today they even have a confidence. They have come out with the schemes where they say, "Okay, bhai, take Mahindra pickup, assured buyback price." You know, kind of. So that's how they play with the market sentiment. So you can do this and highlight, communicate value that you are giving it to your consumers, and extract whatever maximum that you can come out of. Coinage pricing strategy. Yeah, another very good approach that you can do. Wherein the example of 5 rupee Coca-Cola pack is given. Often in rural market, getting a chutta or short of change, etc. So you cannot really have a pricing like, you know, 7 rupees 20 paise or 7 rupees 40 paise, etc. Vis-a-vis your target pricing strategy, both if you mix, you can probably arrive at the coinage pricing. The products are developed to be in sync with the coin classification available to you in the rural areas. So 5 rupees coin is a classic example. 5 rupee pack of Coca-Cola is a coinage pricing. And if 5 rupee coins are available in the market, rural India also is not a problem. So they are achieving both target pricing and coinage, and there is no other hassles of exchange of chuta and, you know, those things. So that is also very rational pricing strategy that one can adopt in the rural market. Of course, you have to take into account the size of the pack, the distribution cost that you will get impacted, and the price markup that is available to you. So these are the factors that can be looked at while you enter the coinage pricing strategy for the rural market. So we have understood the price adjustment, and then we have understood the specific pricing strategies that you can adopt in the rural market considering these other 5 points. So with this, overall we have completed the pricing strategy in the rural market as a chapter. Thank you.